Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life. And there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
All I know is you mess with me, you got problems.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour on a Friday. Thanks for being with us, Dirt and Sprague. Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fam.
Clean it up, okay? Be better.
Sprague and Line coming up, bottom of the hour. Get your fake sponsors in. We got some good ones rolling in already. We will make our gambling picks. Wygaard texting me his. Joe, you got your picks ready?
Oh, I've got my little post-it right next to
you
me.
You got your little post-it ready to go?
Ready to go.
Okay, okay. We'll
ready
do that.
Ready to lose some imaginary money.
You're not going to, you got to do NFL games or NBA games so you can actually bet them on the lottery app, man.
You know, I do have the lottery app. I just haven't made the account yet because I know once I do that, it's just.
Come on, Joe.
It's not good.
Or it could go in the other direction and all of a sudden you're rich.
Hey, I've done my first little betting experiment. Let's see how this goes. A couple schmeckles here and there, and it went bad. I have learned from that.
You live and you learn, man.
Again, do not listen to your gut reaction. We'll see.
You go the opposite, my man. You go the opposite. Okay, are we ready to make some Pac-12 bowl picks? Do we got that music lined up? I need my bump, 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 up. Yeah. There are, Joe Fisher, 7 Pac-12 bowl games.
Down from the last couple of years, I believe.
Is it really? I don't follow. How many they have last year?
Well, I just remember from the records of the last few years. It was like 1-9 last year or something like that. I don't know.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Bowl season. Okay, here we go. A quick look at how everybody hit last week. We all took the Ducks to cover, and not only did they cover, but they won outright. So they covered that 6.5-point spread. Some of these we can spend a little time on. Some of them probably don't deserve any time at all, but we'll go through these as fast as we can. Okay, first Pac-12 bowl game is going to be on December 21st. That is a week from tomorrow, I believe, right? Today's the 13th? Yeah, week from tomorrow. You get Chris Peterson coaching his old team against his old team in the Las Vegas Bowl. The line in this game, Washington -3.
You know, when you see that matchup and the circumstance of Chris Peterson's last game, you would think that Washington should be the favorite. They probably have the better team talent-wise. But I'm looking at that 12-1 record for Boise State.
They're a good team, man.
I have not watched a lot of Boise State. But I know when they are looking at that kind of record at this point in the season, they're damn good. So I think I'm going to roll with Boise State covering that 3.5. Winning outright at this point, I don't know, but let's remember how we felt about playing Boise State a couple of years ago in a bowl game, Oregon Duck fans, and how that ended up. Oh, Boise State, that no problem. Yeah, we should take care of them.
This is the beauty of gambling, though. It's like, is Washington motivated to play for their old coach? Is it a weird?
See, I mean,
because I've had games like that in the past. You mentioned the Oregon one. Remember, I figured they all were going to be pissed off that Taggart left and wanted to make a statement, and then they just got their ass kicked by Boise State.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm gonna take Boise State.
And you don't. And just also looking at this, Boise State being in a Las Vegas Bowl at 12-1, they're probably pissed and they want to go out and show out in this one.
But I think when UW too, the last 3 years they went, if I'm not mistaken, College Football Playoff, Fiesta Bowl, Rose Bowl. Right? Isn't that their last 3 years?
Sounds about
2016,
right.
2016, 2017, 2018. I think that was their last 3 years. College Football Playoff, Fiesta Bowl, Rose Bowl. And now you're in the Vegas Bowl?
And you're in Vegas also.
True. Yeah. Give me Boise. All right, next one up, Holiday Bowl. This one is on Friday, December 27th. Number 22, USC. Number 16, Iowa. The line on this game, by the way, Swigart is taking UW. The line on this game, Iowa -2.5.
I'm going to take that. Iowa covering the 2.5. USC, I think, is fool's gold. They have, obviously, talent up the wazoo. That game's going to be in San Diego, though, so it's like they're going from SoCal to SoCal. It's not much of a, you know, is that much of a trip experience, a bowl game getaway for them? Probably not. I think Iowa, I think they perform great in bowl games as long as you're not playing Christian McCaffrey. And they have some really good players on that team. Two of their players might go first round on both sides of the ball. And I think Iowa...
How about that note?
Yeah, they I think, will show out in this one. And I just don't trust USC at all with Clay Helton as their head coach.
Yeah, that is true. There's always a concern factor there with USC. I just think the talent level and the talent gap is overwhelming in their favor at the wide receiver position in particular. They got the coaching stuff all figured out. Clay Helton's going to be around one more year. I'm going to take USC to win that game. Next one up, the legendary Cheez-It Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. This was a classic last year between Cal and TCU. This year, also on Friday, December 27th, Air Force against Washington State. Air Force is a 3-point favorite.
And that, I mean, again, another team that I have not watched one lick this season.
You haven't watched any Air Force football, Joe? What the hell's wrong with you, man?
Can't say I have. Former West Albany great Anthony Lacoste went to Air Force. I do know that. Give me Washington State. I feel like they've just vastly underperformed this year, and they could be in a better bowl game if they just finished in a few of their performances.
They're close to 9-3, man.
Again, I just don't know enough about Air Force, so I'm rolling with Washington State.
There's one thing I know about Wazoo, that is their defense isn't very good. Their offense is great, no doubt. They're going to put up a lot of points in this game, but you got to face that weird triple option and the Cheez-It Bowl.
Right.
Like, they're just going to be running that thing all night. I don't trust Washington State's defense and their ability to stop the run. For that reason, I will take Air Force minus the 3. Swigard is also taking Air Force. All right, next one up. What do we got? Where do we go? December 30th, Monday, December 30th. That's the day I'm back. 1 o'clock, it'll be going on during the show on Fox. Cal against Illinois in the mighty, mighty Redbox Bowl.
Illinois.
Cal is favored by 7 over Illinois.
I almost want to take Illinois to cover that because I don't trust Cal's offense enough.
Did you just drop a noise?
I did drop a noise.
Wow, Joe.
Yeah,
you're better than that, man.
I'm sorry. Illinois.
Thank you.
Because I just don't trust Cal's offense enough to win by a touchdown. Like, regardless of how good their defense is and being to, I mean, I could still see this being a 10-3 ball game. I guess that's 7 points, but
yeah.
You know, I just see it not being more than a possession. At the most, they win by a 7. So I say Cal wins this, but they don't cover that 7 points.
I will up your not watching any of these teams with I have maybe watched 8 minutes of Illinois football this year. I watched, for some reason, chunks of their, not chunks, but a few series in the Nebraska game. And then I didn't watch their win over Wisconsin. I don't even know if that was on national TV. It was probably on like the Big Ten Network or something. And I remember seeing the highlights of that. So I haven't seen anything about Illinois this year. I do like Cal, though. I know that's a lot of points, but they're really good defensively. And having Garber's back, just it's a difference maker for them, man.
It is. And again, I say
that. Different team.
I don't trust their offense. Trusted a bit more with Chase Garber's back
for
there
sure.
than who they had against Oregon.
Oh, God. Their backups were just awful, man.
Yeah, it was rough.
They were awful. So for that reason, Garber's back, defense, you know, there's no reason to not be motivated for this game. They're playing in their backyard, so they should have a decent fan support. That game's in Santa Clara. I'm going to take Cal. All right, 3 more bowl games to get to. We move on. The Sun Bowl this year.
Who's the sponsor for that one?
The Sun Bowl?
Yeah.
It is the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
Not Frosted Flakes.
Wait, what?
It's just Tony the Tiger.
How is that? How does a mascot of a cereal company sponsor a bowl game? Can somebody explain that to me?
That is an interesting PR move there.
Tony the Tiger.
Don't put our brand name on there. Just put our mascot name. They'll connect the dots.
I don't think this bowl game is going to be great, but it is Arizona State and Florida State. That was a terrible dad joke. Arizona State and Florida State, thank you. They are ASU's favored by 4. This game is on New Year's Eve.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to say. You got me on the
you
great
like that?
Joke. I don't trust Florida State at all with anything. I mean, no, I'm not taking Florida State. Give me Herm. Give me Arizona State. Give me Tony the Tiger. Give me the Sun Devils covering the 4.
Yeah, what the hell? I'll take Arizona State as well. That has the chance to be a really bad game. Are there big wide receivers playing?
For Arizona State?
Yeah, because that would be a concern for me.
Yeah. If
I know Eno Benjamin already announced for the draft, too, so he's gone.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's playing or not.
If he doesn't play, then that could be a little bit more trouble for them.
All right, last two to get to in the Pac-12. We go to the Alamo Bowl, also on New Year's Eve, 4:30 on ESPN. Utah fell from potentially the college football playoff all the way to the Alamo Bowl, which is ridiculous. Second time in a year it's happened in the conference, happened to the Cougs last year. They should have been in a New Year's Six, so should Utah. But they are taking on Texas, 7-5 Texas. God, against 11-2 Utah. Utah favored by 7.5.
Wow. I almost want to take Texas to cover that, but they have been poor at the end of this season. I mean, when you were looking at that matchup against LSU and Texas earlier in the year, Texas was a top team.
Yeah.
And college football playoff, perhaps. Now look at them. I think Utah's going to come off of that Pac-12 championship just mad. They've lost a little bit of their luster, and I think they want to finish off the season on a high note for themselves. And just, that's a Texas team they can beat.
Did you see what Kyle Whittingham said at his press conference?
I did not.
So I don't know if they're already down there or not. That wouldn't make a lot of sense. But he was doing a press, kind of a early press thing for the bowl game. And he said that he has worked out 400 straight days.
What?
That's what I said.
The Peloton doesn't count, Kyle.
400 right? straight days.
How does... Yeah, I need to know what his definition of workout.
Really? No days off, really?
I took a walk on Sunday for 2 miles.
Yeah, does that count?
That doesn't, no. I want to know the workout regimen.
I mean, that dude's yoked, so, he does work out a lot. I'll give him that, but 400 straight? I don't know. I, too, would take Utah, though. I think this game is all about, does Utah care?
Right.
And I think they will. I think they're going to be on the mission to want to send a message of, like, man, we had one bad game, or two, I guess, because they lost USC as well. But they didn't play well in the biggest game of the year. Oregon was just as physical as them. But Texas, as you mentioned, man, they've been a dumpster fire this year. They were in the Sugar Bowl last year. They beat Georgia. Now they're in the Alamo Bowl playing Utah. Different setting for them. I think you get more buy-in here from Utah. It's half the battle in bowl games. I'm going to take them to blow out Texas. And then last but not least, the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day, which you can hear, of course, right here on The Fan.
Oh, we're doing this?
We're picking it right now, baby.
Let's do it.
Picking it right now. Rose Bowl, number 6, Oregon, number 8, Wisconsin. Right now, Vegas consensus line is Wisconsin favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take Oregon. Call me biased, call me favoritism here, but I so love biased. That the way that they closed out the season against Utah. They're going into this game, a close game against them, winning by a field goal or something. I might have not felt as good, probably be taking Wisconsin or whoever that would be they're representing. But the way that Oregon closed out the year, I mean, that performance gives me a lot more confidence in them going into this game and the fact that they can finish off the year on a good note.
Yeah, I too will take Oregon. By the way, Swag's taking Oregon as well. I can't pick against them in the Rose Bowl, I'll be honest with you. But I do like the matchup for them for a couple reasons. I think you're playing almost the identical team of Utah, right? A somewhat limited quarterback. They run the football. They're big up front on both sides. Like, it's a very similar game plan.
Right, yeah.
And if Zach Moss would have just ran all over, if Utah would have just ran all over Oregon, I would have been a lot more concerned because I didn't know how to feel about Oregon's front seven going into that game. But they played fantastic. Outside of a couple of broken runs from Zach Moss, they really bottled him up in the first half. I think they had, 13 rushing yards as a team in the second half?
Right.
Utah, I mean, their front seven was lights out. So, look, Jonathan Taylor's going to get his. He's the best running back in the country. He won the Doak Walker last night. I think that's the running back award. So he's the best running back in the country. He's going to have big numbers. But just to bottle him up, make him work for everything, and then have Jack Cohn try and force him into a lot of third and long situations, I think it's a very similar game plan to what they had against Utah, and I like their chances. Plus the 2.5 points you're giving me. I'll take the Ducks. There you go. Pac-12 picks against the spread for the last time this year. Isn't that sad?
Wow. I'm glad I could be a part of it.
Isn't that sad, man? Not until August.
The season flew by.
It does every year. Yeah. All right, college football playoff thoughts. The Heisman Trophy is getting handed out tomorrow, and Tennessee did something that'll make you chuckle. All of that next. Sprague and the Line coming up bottom of the hour, so keep your fake sponsors rolling in 55305. Back after this on The Fan. It ain't no joke. I
like to buy the world a token. This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Smash Mouth for you. Happy Friday, baby.
I forgot that they had a second song.
Dude, yeah.
Don't say it like that.
Smash Mouth had a lot of hits.
Did they? This is like the...
Walk It on the Sun. Hey Now, You're an All-Star. Get your game on. Go play.
That's all one song. This is like Sprague and the Jada Kiss
thing. No, that's not the same song. That is not this song. Those are two different songs,
well,
Joe.
I was just saying, you said the lyrics as if they were like, hey now, you're an all-star.
Walking on the sun.
Get your game on. Remember that one?
remember that song? Good song. Okay, some thoughts on the college football playoff coming up in a moment. The Heisman is tomorrow. Do people still care about the Heisman? Do you still get jazzed up for the Heisman Trophy ceremony?
You know what? I used to like actually care about turning it on and seeing it, but now that ESPN likes to make a production like 25 minutes of a thing before actually announcing it, it's like, nah, I'm good. I'll get the alert on my phone now. Thank you. I don't need to watch the pageantry and the speech, especially after Cam Newton's speech a couple years ago. What the hell was that?
I don't remember Cam Newton's speech. Was it bad?
He was all like referring to talking about his mom and like giving birth to him. And it was very, very awkward.
That's
and
a little weird.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm going to pass on these 19, 20 year old speeches. I think I'm good. Just tell me who won.
You birthed an all time great.
Basically, it was just like, where's he going with this? Okay. Take the mic.
Well, I think the other tough part too for college football this year, and they had this for their big selection show last Sunday or whatever day, whenever it was, when they were announcing the bowl games and stuff. We knew who was going to be in the playoff. It's like you wake up, you're like, in some years you wake up and it's like, oh my God, who's going to be the number four team? And you would have had that. Like if Utah would have won and Oklahoma won and you know maybe you had like Clemson get upset or something, then you could wake up and be like, oh God, I wonder who that number four squad's going to be. But after Saturday, we all knew. It was just a matter of who was number one. So I was like, there's no interest in waking up and seeing who the top four teams are. And the same thing kind of goes for tomorrow. Like it's like you want to tip your cap to Joe Burrow, man. He had an incredible year this year. He's probably going to now be the number one overall pick in the draft. Like talk about going from just an average to maybe below average college quarterback to bursting onto the scene. He's been awesome to watch. But he's going to win like in a landslide. The only question is if he's the largest landslide of all time, which I believe I remember reading was Troy Smith at Ohio State, like randomly in 2006 or seven, whatever year that was, 2008, whatever year that was. So that to me takes a little bit out of it. By the way, did you see, and I got to now look this up on Twitter because I don't have it in front of me. Did you see the Joe Burrow story when he went out to dinner with Ed Orgeron?
I do. Yes. This is like, of course this happened, right?
So he went, oh God, I have to find this. So apparently he went out to a restaurant when he had Joe Burrow in town. Oh, here it is. Joe Burrow said that during his recruitment, he went out to dinner with Ed Orgeron. When they got to the restaurant, Orgeron found out that they didn't serve crawfish, the restaurant that they went to. So Orgeron had the restaurant manager go out and get 15 pounds of crawfish and cook it for them anyway. So they sit down. Joe Burrow's there, recruiting dinner. Here we go. And hey, we want some crawfish. Sorry, coach. We don't have any crawfish.
Well, you're going to go buy that crawfish and you're gonna go get us some food, okay?
Yeah, 15 pounds of crawfish. What people don't know, that was just for Coach O. Coach, we don't have crawfish on the menu.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph and Salah Fusha wouldn't ever got past number one.
Okay, I'll get right on that, sir. I'm sorry.
We're on it, man. We're on it. So there's your Heisman talk. Now, you had a funny Tennessee story. They ended up, by the way, I don't know if people know this, Tennessee's in a bowl game this year.
Which, yeah.
After losing to Georgia State and the start that they got off to, like they were like 1-4. And we had a listener text in earlier, them actually getting to 7-5 is somewhat impressive. Which, I mean, based on where they were.
At the beginning of the year, yeah. Like, they were losing to BYU and, gosh, who else?
Georgia State was the other one.
Yeah,
like, yeah. It was ugly. So they ended up in a bowl game, but they somehow screwed their fans over going into bowl season.
Oh, yeah. So apparently this is multiple reports on Sunday had Tennessee slated for a trip to Nashville in the Music City Bowl, right? You know, have it in state. In fact, it was reported on the VolQuest, rivals.com website for Tennessee Vols fan. Well, apparently, you know, there was back and forth. This is inaccurate. Well, multiple sources have told me.
Okay, it's confirmed.
Yeah, and it seemed like they were all but headed to Nashville. The two sides had expected to announce the program's return to the bowl game first since 2016.
Oh, no.
And the story goes that the desired choice changed on Sunday in part because of preferences from Tennessee boosters and others. Tennessee informed the SEC in the Gator Bowl of its new preference, causing a shuffling in the bowl lineup that sent Mississippi State to the Music City Bowl, Kentucky from the Gator Bowl to the Belk Bowl, and now you have Tennessee playing in the Gator Bowl after thousands of Tennessee fans had already purchased tickets for the Music City Bowl. And this is so bad that one fan, apparently a Tennessee fan, reached out to a Mississippi State Bulldog fan, a family friend that they knew would maybe be interested in going to the game, said, hey, I mistakenly bought tickets for the Music City Bowl, thought Tennessee was going to go. Your Bulldogs are going Mississippi State. Maybe you want to catch them there.
Yeah.
You're the 10th person that's called me asking if I wanted to buy your tickets. So Tennessee, because of their boosters and saying, maybe we'll get some more exposure in Florida there. They screwed their fans out of who knows how much money. I mean, tickets for a bowl game. I mean, I'm guessing down there, $200, $250 in the South. So, yeah, Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen.
That is just awful. How do you run with something like that and then rush to buy your tickets when you could do it like a couple of days later? Like, there's not that big of a rush to buy tickets. You're in state.
And what was worse is, I think it was the Gator Bowl tweeted out after, wow, that was a wild Sunday, wasn't it? Like, yeah, I'm out $300-$400, bud. Damn you.
I bought a pair of tickets, damn it. Oh, dear Lord. So Tennessee fans got screwed over going into their bowl game. I do want to give a quick prediction because I'm not going to be around. So those bowl games are, what, 2 weeks from tomorrow, I believe, right? The semifinal games? Saturday the 28th?
Yes.
28th, yeah.
Yes.
Quick takes on those. One, we had Adam Rittenberg on earlier in the show. If you missed it, go check the podcast. I think that the Clemson-Ohio State game is a game I'm probably – now, Oregon and Florida State will always be there for me just because it's Oregon, and it was the first ever semifinal game. Like, that was a really big deal. Outside of that, this is the most excited I've been for a semifinal game in the history of the college football playoff because you have Clemson, who hasn't really beaten anybody all year, but they're Clemson, and they blow people out, and they won the national title last year.
They're looking dominant right now.
They look dominant, and Ohio State had a damn good argument to be the number one overall seed in the playoff, and they've won every game this year by double digits. Like, they've had a much tougher schedule, and they haven't played any close games. Their closest game, they still ended up winning by double digits, so I'm psyched for it. LSU-Oklahoma does nothing for me. I think LSU's going to blow them out. I will take LSU and Clemson to win those games.
And also with that Clemson Ohio State game, you're looking at the number one and number two pick in next year's draft. Not this. I mean, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence.
Very true.
I mean, from what I've seen, those two dudes, they'll be it.
Wow.
One and two.
Over Penei Sewell? Really, Joe? Really?
Okay, maybe one and three. 2-3. How about that?
There you go. There you go. No, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that yet because they both have one more year left, which I wish Justin Fields didn't because they're at Oregon next year. But it would be nice if he could, you know.
Hey. Oregon wants that.
That's right. We want them at their best. So there you go. I can't wait for those semifinal games coming up in 2 weeks. Clemson, the concern is Clemson's defense. They're not as good as they were last year on that side of the ball. That just happens in college football. You lose a lot of talent to the NFL. But the way Trevor Lawrence has been playing, ETN, the running back, man, they got legit guys on the outside. Man, that team is talented. I'll take Clemson and LSU to win those semifinal games 2 weeks from tomorrow. Okay, let's break the line. Get your fake sponsors in. 55305 is a better you today. Text line. We'll try and win you some money. But take the opposite of our picks because that's the way I've been gambling this year. So we'll give you some gambling picks next. First, here's Joe with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Oh, I missed it. Damn it. I missed it. They
you
started
were so
singing.
Ready.
I was ready to go. All right, hold on. Hold on. Everybody ready?
Get the countdown. One.
Everybody ready?
Three.
Sprague in the line. Nailed it. Hey, Sprague in the line brought to you by Sprague's trip to Vietnam. At least he won't be able to make Joe feel uncomfortable about not having a girlfriend anymore.
Very true.
Sprague in the line brought to you by Major League Baseball. Now that baseball allows marijuana, Joe can make a comeback. Too bad for Dusty, though, as they will still test for cocaine.
Yeah, the rotator cuff, I don't think it's 100%.
It's not good, not healthy enough yet?
No.
All right, we'll get there. Spring and Line, sponsored by Graduation. Tomorrow I graduate with a master's in teaching with a special education endorsement. I'd put some money on a Sprague pick, but I'm already in enough debt. Shout out to Dio, man. Congrats on graduating. Congrats on graduating.
Congratulation.
That was a weird tongue twister.
Hey, my cousin's getting into the same program, getting the master's in the special education as well.
There you go, man. People doing good stuff.
Kudos to all them, yeah.
People doing good stuff. Sprague in the Line brought to you by Vacationing in Vietnam. Thank God Sprague is there and not dishing out trash picks. Sprague in the Line brought to you by In-N-Out. Shout out to those that waited in line. The last time Swag waited in line was waiting with his platoon at Normandy on D-Day. Not even here to defend an old joke. Spring and Line brought to you by just like the Fart Launcher 3000. Oh, you can smell these picks across the room. Their heads look like butts. That they do. Spring and Line brought to you by 1080 The Fan's Weed Guy. guy. He is behind everyone.
Who's that?
That would be you, Joe.
What?
That would be you. Spring and Lion brought to you by Viet Air. Hopefully, Brandon won't pick the plane to land safely.
Oh, my God. I'm okay, really feeling this pilot. He's got over 50,000 really miles logged.
That's a really good one. Spring and Lion brought to you by Tony the Tiger. Spring on vacation. These picks will be great. All right, oh, let me rattle through a couple more here. Hold on.
These Lost picks aren't going to be any good, so you might as well read a couple more sponsors.
Yeah. Spring and Lion brought to you by Larry the Lion. We don't have Sun Bowl money. These picks are okay. Spring and Lion brought to you by In-N-Out. Much like Sprague's advice, it's way overrated and not at all worth the wait. Spring and Lion brought to you by Peyote. If you take enough of it, even Sprague's logic might start making sense.
Wow, Peyote, okay.
Spring and Lion brought to you by losing weight is your New Year's resolution because losing is what you get when you listen to a Sprague pick.
Yeah, you'll lose money. You won't have money to eat anymore. You starve yourself. Bam, you lost 20 pounds for the holidays.
Spring and Lion, one more. Spring and Lion brought to you by Smash Mouth. Not all that glitters is gold and only sucky bets break the bank. Hey, now. Let's be all-stars, Joe. Okay? I don't even want to go over my picks from last week. There's no need to. I might have made some. I might not have. You'll never know.
Well, hey, I'm sure they were 100% correct.
You'll never know.
I mean, that's why you don't have to go over them.
No, they were such good picks. We don't even need to go over how last week went, okay?
Exactly.
I'm going to rattle through Swags quickly. He texted me in his picks. Swigard is going Lakers -5.5 against the Heat. The Rams -1 over the Cowboys in the over of 46.5 in Saints and Colts.
Okay,
those are his three picks. Joe, you can do one at a time, three at a time. It is up to you. The floor is yours.
We can go one at a time, little tennis back and forth rally.
Okay.
I am looking at the Texans at Tennessee this weekend, taking on the Titans. I am taking the Texans +3. That's great. Ryan Tannehill's had a nice run. Fantastic numbers. It's been great for him. I'm really happy that he was able to take Marcus Mariota's job. I'm just thrilled about it. But when you look back on the teams they played, Raiders, Colts, Jags, an unhealthy Patrick Mahomes-led Chiefs team, which they barely escaped there. They lost to the Panthers, Buccaneers, Chargers. It's been a nice run for Ryan Tannehill, but he really hasn't played anybody. And the Texans, with them flip-flopping, you never know what they're going to get. Last week, they embarrassed themselves. This week, they don't. They got a division on the line. Texans +3.
I love that you think the same way that I think, Joe. This is why we're such bad gamblers, because I have gambled against Tennessee.
Screw Ryan Tannehill, +3.
Against them like 5 straight weeks, and I lose every damn weekend.
Well, this is the week, man.
And I want to pick Houston again, but I've learned my lesson. I've been smacked on the hand too many times, so I'm avoiding that. But I love that you took the bait. Let's go Texans, baby. All right, my first pick, I'm going to stick in the NFL with my first pick. Another team that has bit me too many times to count, including I'm an idiot. I gamble on my Monday Night Football. But what the hell, man? You keep going back to the well. Eventually, you got to be right. Philly is on the road against the Redskins this weekend. Like, Washington sucks.
Yes. Okay?
We can all agree on that.
Yes.
Philly's got issues. They're 6-7. I'm not denying that Philly is at times a bad football team. They got a lot of injuries. The line's only 4.5.
I saw that.
The line's only, you just got to win by 5. Washington sucks. Philly's got a chance to win the division. They can get back to .500. I'm an idiot. I'm going Eagles -4.5 with my first pick.
And that's one of those games, just as a Cowboys fan, I look, I'm like, wow, the Eagles could, they could cover that. And then because I think that, they will not cover it, end up still winning the game.
Right, they'll win by a field goal.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, that does nothing for me. Thanks, bud. Well, I'm going to stick in the NFC East, and I'm going against my Dallas Cowboys. I'm taking the Rams at 1.5. At this point, I am rooting for everything to go wrong against the Cowboys so that way Jason Garrett can be out of there quicker than week 17. I think this is the snowball rolling downhill. They lose to the Rams this week. They lose to the Giants. They lose to the this is it. Rams looked really good against the Seahawks. Cowboys can't stop a nosebleed, and when the Bears are looking like all-stars and Trubisky is turning his year around against them, all I got to see. So I'm taking the Rams -1.5. These teams aren't much different from that playoff game last year either, where the Rams just rolled them.
Yeah, that is true. That's a line. I don't quite understand. Maybe it's just trying to suck Vegas bettors into just Cowboy fans into taking the boys. I don't quite get why this line's where it's at. The way the Rams have looked the last couple of weeks and the way Dallas has looked.
And I want to say on Vegas Insider, it started started at minus three for the Cowboys. So it's been.
So money's coming back. Yeah. And if you're on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app, you can get the Rams just at minus one right now.
Right.
So that's, yeah, I'm with you on that one. My next pick in the NFL, this is dangerous, but you got to live dangerously sometimes. Minnesota is not the Minnesota of old.
Oh, baby. I crossed this one off my list.
I know, because this is the ultimate Vikings trap game, which means they're probably going to lose. But look, they're playing for, they're not, I mean, I'd have to look up, let me see real quick. I can't remember how many games behind Green Bay they are. Yeah, they're only a game behind Green Bay in the NFC North Division. They get Green Bay coming to their building towards the end of the year, either next week or the week after that. I think it's next week on Monday Night Football, but that's coming up. Minnesota's playing for something, and they realize that the Rams are snipping at their heels. The Rams are only a game behind them now for that last wild card spot in the NFC. Dude, I'm not going to get fooled by the Chargers. They went on the road. They played good for the first time basically all season outside of maybe one other win against Green Bay. Like, that's just not a good team. They're dysfunctional. I know Derwin James is back and that kind of stuff. I trust Minnesota. I think their defense is good. They run the football. Kirk Cousins is actually statistically having a really good year, and they're only favored by one. So it's basically a pick 'em. I'm taking Minnesota minus the one.
Yeah, I had that initially, but crossed it off because I was picking against the Chargers, and I don't trust. That's the Cowboys of the AFC right there. Like, oh yeah, they should lose that game. Right. They win it. Like, yep. That's just one not to trust.
That's the way it works.
In my last one, I went between two, but I am going to go with the Bills plus one and a half at Pittsburgh. I'm sorry. I do not believe in Pittsburgh at all. Much like the Titans with Tannehill, they really haven't beaten anybody either. Cardinals, they barely escaped that. The Browns, they lost to them already, just beat them 2 weeks ago. They also played the Bengals, the Rams. They beat the Rams, but that was when they were kind of going through a tough patch. And then they were able to beat the Colts, the Dolphins. There's not a lot of wins there in this streak for the Steelers that make me think they're a real team, a contender.
Yeah.
And to me, the Bills have those wins. They stayed close with the Ravens at least. That was a competitive game all the way towards the end. They rolled the Cowboys. The Bills have looked good to me this year, much more so than Pittsburgh at home. Give me the Bills plus one and a half, Josh Allen. I'm sorry, Duck Hodges. No, the it's got to stop at some point, right? Like you're saying with Ryan Tannehill and Tennessee, like, this is ridiculous. So no, give me the one and a half, Buffalo.
You know, it's their first time on Sunday Night Football since 2011.
Let's go. I want to see a lot Buffaloes. Of people. I want to see people put through some tables. Let's go.
All right, my last pick, I'm going to go. I love the Rams pick as well, but I don't want to make it 3-for-3 with all of us taking it. I'm a little concerned of the group think there. Now all of a sudden, like, Dallas is going to find a way to win. Like, that's just the right way those picks usually work. There's a line right now. Right now it's at -7. I'm going to buy a half point just to make my life a little bit easier on Sunday. Seattle's on the road in Carolina. The scoreboard app, again, they're favored by a touchdown. So I'm going to. You can click the game and get it at a 6.5 just so they have to win by a touchdown. And I'm not getting a push there in case they do only win by 7. Carolina's done, man. I think they quit on the season. Seattle realizes that they had their 1 week last week that they let one slip, and they still control their own destiny, but they cannot afford another loss going forward with San Francisco coming to town in a couple of weeks. I think Seattle bounces back. Carolina's not very good. I think they can win that game by a touchdown, so I'll take Seattle minus the 6.5 as my last pick. So Swag's taking the Lakers minus 5.5 against Miami, the Rams minus 1 against the Cowboys, and the over of 46.5 in the Saints and Chiefs. Joe's got the Texans plus 3, the Rams minus 1, and the Bills plus 1.5 on Sunday Night Football. And then I'm taking the Eagles minus 4.5, the Vikings minus 1, and then getting the Seahawks at minus 6.5. There you go. Spraying the line every Friday at 2:30. All right, we got some poll questions. We'll put a bow on the week, and I am almost on vacation. We'll close up next on The Fam.
It's Friday. 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 Friday.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
It's the best damn thing you've ever done, Joe.
I was going to say, I'll be on my deathbed in 70, 80 years.
Thinking about this.
I remember. Yep.
Remember when I made the Friday song with Bill Belichick?
Put it on the epitaph above my gravestone.
Yeah, I got to say, man, the listeners clamor for it. When you're gone, Swigard does not play the Bill Belichick Friday song. So it's only on Joe Fish Edition shows.
And you know what? I will say I'm almost glad that he doesn't play it because, yeah, you don't want to overdo this. It's a nice treat every once in a while. A
nice little surprise every now and then.
And I bet the listeners, yeah, they appreciate it because they don't know what's coming. And then Bam, there you go.
There it is, right there. Boom. It's been a busy show today. We found out Marcus Arroyo is coaching in the bowl game. We found out Brian Lindgren turned down the job at ASU to be their offense coordinator, so he's sticking in Corvallis. We talked about CJ McCollum and the Blazers losing again last night, Lamar Jackson taking over the NFL. It has been a busy show. We also opened talking about Christmas movies and Christmas music, so it's been enjoyable. Let's rattle through some poll questions today. At Dirt and Sprague on Twitter, we had, let's see, 1, 2, 3 of them. If you have to pick one, who are you rooting for to win the national championship? This is an easy answer.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha wouldn't ever got past number one.
I mean, come on. If you're rooting for anybody, it has to be LSU, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've seen Clemson in it. You've seen Oklahoma in the last 3 or 4 college football playoffs. Ohio State. The Ohio State.
Yeah, we've seen them all, man.
We're sick of them. I know LSU is SEC lore, but sure. this year's different. Yeah, come on. Go Tigers with an X.
Go Tigers. 60% of you agree and are voting for LSU. The next highest vote getter was Clemson, surprisingly. I thought it's 17%, Ohio State 12%, Oklahoma 10%. Yeah, I'm already tired of Clemson. I'm already there, man. I don't need to see Clemson win another national championship.
Well, as I said, get used to it. They're going to be there forever, it seems.
And they got that DJ Ugalele guy coming in after Trevor Lawrence. Like, they're not going anywhere. Larry Scott said he could be in favor of an 8-team playoff, but the Rose Bowl is important to Pac-12 fan bases, so they have to protect that asset. So we asked the question, what's more important to you as a Pac-12 fan? We didn't even really talk about this on the show today. The conference champion guaranteed to go to the playoff or keeping the Rose Bowl tradition alive? 85% of you overwhelmingly supported the conference champion going to the college football playoff.
Oh, come on. These 2019 millennial tradition, roses, the parade.
It's been around for 100 years.
Come on, Rose.
Hey, man, I love the Rose Bowl, dude. It is awesome. But when you're in a system that's playoff or bust, yeah, I'll go ahead and forego that tradition and if it means getting the team in.
You know what you do is you make one of those playoff games, like Rose Bowl is always a playoff game every single year.
Yeah, and you lose a little tradition. Maybe it's not always Pac-12 Big Ten. That's fine. Like, it's still a big game every year.
It's always important.
Right, though. And there's a chance you go. Oregon went to a semifinal once, and they played in the Rose Bowl against Florida State. Like, that was still a pretty awesome atmosphere, wasn't it?
I don't think anybody's crying from a couple years ago when Oklahoma and Georgia went there.
Right.
You know, I think we'll be fine.
Right. All right, well, there you go. Hey, I'm off. Great stuff today, Joe. Awesome stuff today. It was a lot of fun. And look, so I'm on vacation next week. We got a bunch of stuff planned. A couple of best ofs. I know Nimick's going to be doing a recruiting show on Wednesday for National Signing Day. So that's going to be fun. He's going to have Jonathan Smith on the show. I think Mario Cristobal, they're efforting to get him on if his schedule lines up with it. But it's a big day for recruiting and the programs here in the Northwest. So Swag and Nimick will be doing a show next Wednesday. And then Sprague's back after that. Then it's Christmas. And then I'll be back right before I head down to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. So it's going to be turn and burn. But thank you for being a part of our Friday. If you missed it today, Adam Rittenberg joined the show and Andrew Nimick joined the show. We'll podcast those as soon as we're done. Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com. I'm on vacation for a little bit. Hope everybody has a great holiday. Enjoy your Christmas or whatever you celebrate, time with family and friends. We'll talk to you in a little bit. Have a great weekend. Number one's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.